Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to talk about this very well pronounced reconstruction problem in asymptotically safe quantumized gravity. And so this is a work that was initiated already last year in collaboration with Martin Reuter. Okay, so since I don't have too much time, I think I will be a little bit loose. I will not talk with too much details about all this reconstruction problem. Well, basically, I'm going to give some motivations about what we need this reconstruction problem, why we need to reconstruct a better action starting from an effective one. And then, well, first of all, I'm going to make some comparison between the bare and the effective action and how can we relate it, both of them. And then I'm going to pass directly to the case of the example of quantumized gravity, and especially the truncation of the Einstein-Hilbert, also the minimal truncation with only two coupling constants, and then the summary. Okay. So the first motivation, obviously, is that just because of the very definition of the effective action, right? We do not have any path integral representation which gives rise to a given RG trajectory of the effective average action. So that means that, as I said, so just because of the very definition of the effective average action, this is constructed so that a complete quantum theory is constructed with a solution of the effective equations. And just by this construction, we do not know a priori which is the action which is underneath, or which is the representation, which is, say, at the very beginning of this theory. And so basically we have this problem, so that that would be our main aim, basically, which is starting from an effective average action, defined in some way. Our aim is to reconstruct a better action under with some sort of regularized ultraviolet regularization cutoff. I am always going to refer to the effective action with this ultraviolet cutoff. And then with some sort of generalized Lejeune transformation, we could have the Hamiltonian, right? And so with the Hamiltonian description, we can actually realize which are the basic degrees of freedom that we are actually quantized. Okay. So as a second motivation, is the as we know that is the standard techniques in quantum field theory. So there are many properties that are better described in the path integral setting, and that we have a little bit of, okay, I cannot say problems, but we do not know in most of the cases how to treat this. So the other thing is that in this path integral setting, we would like to describe in a more natural way how the symmetries are described here on maybe the implementation of constraints or even in among other things. And the last point is the relation with other approaches. So as has been pointed out since the very beginning of this workshop, this could be something which is important for other people, which is doing mainly loop quantum gravity or dynamical triangulation and so on. So how would be the relation between these effective average action approaches, asymptotic safety scenario, with respect to these other things, no, where the Hamiltonian plays a central role. Okay, so this is just a list of kind of the main characteristic of each of the two things, effective average action and the bare action. I just want to put that thing just to make a comparison and then say how can we relate both of them. So in this case, the effective average action, as we know, is just an effective action at scale k, which has a built-in infrared graph, whereas the bare action is just a UV cutoff is a set of actions, obviously parametrized with this UV cutoff, and it's a set of actions for the same system. So with this, we already know. Also, the second point is that here the green functions depend on K, and this comes precisely because of the very definition of our effective average action, which defines an effective theory at scale K. And obviously, our green functions, so we can compute with the functional derivatives, which are simply as that, the green functions here. Whereas on the other side, the green functions will depend on the ultraviolet cutoff, and we need to make a further integration just to have some final result, right? And so the third point is that obviously that we do not need to make some further integration, that just because we are just treating our theories as basis with mean fields, so the integration is somehow given in these mean fields. And here, as a comparison, we see that the bare action has to be used inside of an integral and with a type of regularized measure in order to make sense. Finally, and this is kind of the main point, that the quantum field theory here in this effective average action setting is defined by complete renormalization group solutions, which are well defined for all range the scale parameter k. Whereas here, quantum field theory is defined by a bare action together with a regularized path integral or a regularized measure at all. Okay, so obviously here after this, there is a natural question that one may ask. So, and this is what is the path or what is a path integral? Obviously, with some sort of regularization in the measure here, yeah, such that it reproduces an RG trajectory in the limit when we send the ultraviolet limit to infinity. And our claim is that if we use a UV regularization, a UV regularization scheme, the information encoded in gamma k, namely all these effective copings, they are sufficient to determine the bare action, just in how the bare copings must behave in the ultraviolet limit. And so this is the thing that we are going to explore. So we can have some positive answers to these things so that we can actually reconstruct this up to a certain extent. So now I'm going to define what is going to be this extra ingredient, which has to be put in the effective average action. Right? So this ultraviolet cutoff, I'm going to define it here just for simplicity in the scalar field. And now I'm going to define so the scalar field in a d-dimensional Euclidean space, right? And so I'm going to define like here is going to be minus p squared, and these are going to be the eigenvalues of the Laplacian in this d-dimensional Euclidean space. And now for making the cutoff. The other assumption that one could make is that one can assume boundary conditions, periodic boundary conditions, such that the eigenvalues have a discrete spectra. And so once one has this discrete spectra, one can make a sharp cutoff from this. Just saying that we are going to take into account all the modes of p up to certain value of lambda. Okay, and so the thing that we are going to do is we are going to expand the fields into the with respect to the eigenvectors, right, of the Laplacian here, up to the mode and up to the scale p, the lambda, sorry. And obviously the function will be regularized according to the expansion here. So in this case the UV regulated W K lambda, and I'm going to put another extra lambda here, is going to be defined in as usual, but with a regularized measure now. And okay, so these definitions here. And obviously, now we can define the effective average action with a UV cutoff in the same manner, so with this Legendre transformation and subscribing here the infrared cutoff. So here I have to say that as well, so the mean field here is as well as it's expanded in terms of eigenvectors of the Laplacian. So in the rest of it, I'm going to follow just the same notation, but one has to always take into account that this the phi and the chi are regularized. So okay. So it is straightforward to calculate the flow equation here. And the flow equation is going to be exactly what more or less the same, has exactly the same structure as before. But now we have a partial trace, and this partial trace, it comes exactly just to it takes into account all the traces, the modes that the modes that that p squared is less than lambda squared. No? So here I'm just putting these dots, just saying that all these things have to be here inside. Okay, and then the main point for this discussion is going to be the integral differential equation that the gamma guy is going to satisfy, and this integral differential equation is also satisfied without the UV regulator, and this is going to be kind of the core of our discussions, and this is just because if we can solve this integral differential equation for a given effective action here, and if we can solve it, so we can have an S lambda, so we can have an action here. Okay. So now we can think about how these flows are.
Sorry.
Yes.
I didn't
explain that. Here I'm just already putting in, so F is the fluctuation. So I'm already splitting the field in, what I put, okay, I didn't put it here, but the scalar field chi, splitting in the fluctuation, the path. Okay, and now,
excuse me?
Yes.
May I ask a question to the previous slide? Can't you choose your regularization of the functional integral measure for a given infrared cut of RK such that this integral equation is trivial in a sense? So instead of choosing a sharp ultraviolet regularization, choosing one, the continuous cutoff such that this integral equation
How can be this trivial? Or is that the question?
Yeah, well, the infrared regulator that is present regularizes from the infrared.
Yeah.
Somehow choosing the ultraviolet regulator such that it regularizes from the ultraviolet such that no integration has to be done anymore.
I don't know.
What is on the next transparency is a statement that holds only in this case but not for a smooth cutoff in the ultraviolet like the one in the infrared.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, as Martin said, so this is the thing that I'm going to talk about now is just presented for this type of chap and ultraviolet regulator, ultraviolet. And this is precisely the relation between the solutions of the flow equation without any UV regulator and the solutions of the flow equation that we saw already, that they have this UV regulator and they're only valid for car going from zero to number. And it can be demonstrated that for certain type of infrared cutouts, namely the, in this case, it can be demonstrated this is exactly the, it's an exact relation with the optimized cutout, that these two are exactly the same in the regime from zero to lambda, and that actually the gamma of k lambda is a restriction of the complete solution. Right, so I have draw here a scheme more or less. So this big trajectory, let's say, is just a complete trajectory of the, it's just a complete solution of my flow equation. So it's like the RG trajectory, and this other one is the solution at with the UV cutoff. But the idea is that if one takes the limit of lambda going to infinity, then these two is going to be the same. So one can say if you take get rid of the limit and the theories will be fine. Okay. And now it comes the question, now that we know how these two effective actions, the one which is regulated, UV regulated, and then we can now ask for how would be then the relation, or how can we calculate the pair action given this ultraviolet cutoff and a given trajectory or given complete solution of the solution without a UV regulator. And the idea is solving precisely that integral differential equation. And the thing that can be done is that to one loop, so making a saddle point approximation and so on, and so at one loop we get this relation here, and taking the limit cut going to lambda, then we can get the desired relation. So since we know how gamma lambda would behave because of the former relation, then we can actually know what would be up to some approximation the better action, which gives all the information of my effective action of all my complete trajectory, RG trajectory. Okay. So now that I have described this thing, now if we can actually apply that to the Einstein-Hilbert and to the quantum Einstein gravity. So basically the thing that I'm going to do here is just plugging some sort of truncation in the former equation and trying to solve it. So, but basically, so the strategy for the quantum Einstein gravity is exactly the same, follows exactly the same lines as the scalar case. So we take the UV regularized measure with this sharp ultraviolet cutoff, and we define, as always, the path integral, but now obviously it's regularized in the metric fluctuation and the ghost, and obviously so this should be the polar action and the infrared cutoff here. And so the UV cutoff is going to be implemented in the eigenvalues of the Laplacian, which is defined with the background metric. And it's to be just restricting the eigenvalues to be less than lambda squared. And all the derivations is exactly the same one, so I think I'm not going to put it back again, but we get exactly the same relation. Obviously here with the super trace taking into account the ghost sector and so on. And so with the obvious generalizations. Okay, and so now just for the for showing how this how can we make actual calculations, so now we can do a double answer in this case. So I'm just going to be interested how the effective coupling constants are going to be related with the bare ones. And for that I'm going to make the minimal truncation, maybe the Einstein minimal truncation, for the effective action and the bare one. So this is it. So this is the ghost part, the cage fixing part, and the effective action and this the coupling constants. So if one plug these things into this equation and send k to lambda, the thing that one gets obviously in dimensionless couplings here is this set of equations that we have. Just have to explain that this q that comes out here is just a normalization factor that I didn't explain, but it's plays more or less a non-trivial role in the relation of the bare couplings with effective ones. It's this normalization factor here, which enters in the definition of the measure. And so this is a system that can be solved numerically, actually. And we could solve it actually in a very good way for this region. So G, the effective G positive, and the lambda less than 1/2. And also we solve it for different values of Q, which, as I said, corresponds to just the normalization of the measure. And the other thing that I wanted to point out is that this Q as well depends, in general, depends on lambda, but one can always fix this Q in order to have it completely independent of the regulator. And the thing that if one managed to do that, then to have this equation independent of the ultra value cut off, then the fixed points map into fixed points. So we have a pair of trajectories that comes from the effective trajectories in this case. And actually we can find a non-Gaussian fixed point for the bare trajectories, which actually depends on the normalization of the measure. And this is something quite peculiar, because one can see the relation between the bare action and the measure. So contribution from the measure comes into the bare action and vice versa. Also, the flows are diffeomorphic near the Gaussian fixed point, and therefore we have the same critical exponents here. So there is nothing wrong in this. I mean, a good behavior in the near the Gaussian fixed point of the bare trajectory. The problem comes when one tries to map the Gaussian fixed point from the effective theory to the bare one. And if one does it, then one realizes that precisely because of the definition, so the domain of definition where these two equations are valid, so we can see that the Gaussian fixed point is located at the boundary of the domain of definition. And obviously, when one tries to calculate the critical exponents there, one finds log corrections to the power law scaling. So the map of the there is not one to one, is not diffeomorphic, so we cannot have too much things to say there. And so here I just want to picture this precisely the behavior that I was talking in the previous slide. Namely, so this is the defective flows. So this is lambda and this is G, the constant. And this is the typical picture that everybody knows. These are the three solutions. They are just face portraits of the bare for the bare action here. And so here, as we can see, for different choices of Q, one could arrange the non-Gaussian fixed point to move all along, including the bare cosmological constant being zero here for a certain type of normalization, as we could see here. So this is an interesting behavior, this, because we can see that the values that we can put in the lambda and the chi, so in the bare Hopping constant, they strongly depend on the normalization. So the way we define the measure. And so basically this is the main results that we have achieved in this very small truncation. And I just want to finish just again just remarking the main motivations which we haven't so yeah so the main motivation that up to a certain extent we have succeeded. So the here with the reconstruction problem, namely we have achieved that given a UV, or we have demonstrated up to a certain extent certain approximations and so on, that given a UV regularization scheme and measure, then every solution of the functional renormalization group equation gives rise to a bare action, a regularized bare action. And so the second point is that we have, now that we have a bare action in this way, then we can make, as I said in the very beginning, an inverse Daly-Johnson formation just to see what would be the Hamiltonian description of the theory, which is given by the functional renormalization group equation, and try to figure out what the degrees of freedom would be for dice. And finally, that this is something related with the first part is the contact with other approaches that we haven't not explored yet, but it would be a very nice motivation to follow this research. Namely with these other approaches of quantum gravity. And in this case, that would be a task for the guys to use these other approaches and to try to calculate which would be the bare action for them using trying to calculate this correction term with the pertinent cutoff which comes out from each of these theories. And, I think thank you.
Thank you very much for the interesting talk. We have time for a question too.
I wanted to get the picture. Could one start from the standard form of the differential integral functional equation, use a UV regularized form of the measure,
yes,
and derive a pair of coupled functional flow equations, one with respect to k and the other one with respect to lambda. But the one with respect to lambda would sort of differ by the fact that it picks up other terms from the measure. And then simply put oneself the goal to study now this coupled system of functional flow equations, which seemed sort of far beyond what one can do, but I think it would not be that bad because much more is known what the UV divergent part of the effective action should look like. So one could use whatever one thinks is the UV divergent part of the effective action as one ansatz, and then whatever the other part is.
Yeah, right.
And simply aim at.
Yes, exactly.
I'm trying to understand what all these Or if you think of the simplest case where you have the Kalman-Simansky equations, you can write that in the Bayer scheme on in the renormalized scheme. No? And so in principle, you know the answer. You know how to do one mapping from one to the other. It's the problem that we have an infinite number of operators generated.
I don't know. Actually, I haven't think in that other direction yet. So I was just thinking in the direction of having just a full algebra directory, and then the problem for how to reconstruct all these degrees of freedom for having a defined path integral. So, but yeah.
Maybe connected with this question with previous speakers. I mean, if you don't leave the door open to other possible operators, how can we know, for instance, that you don't have other terms in your action and in your and I'm a bit puzzled, maybe I didn't get the point, but the door is not open to other terms. How do we know if, for instance, there are
but the terms in the bare action,
yes, in what you call S lambda.
I mean, the idea is that these terms would be generated exactly by the RG flow. So that's the main idea. So
maybe the same answers for gamma k and gamma.
This is just again. I'm just playing here again. So, but in the best of the situations, once you just have so the only input that we have is just the RG trajectory. So it's just a gamma k. So if one knows the complete solution, then just one has to plug this thing there, and then try to solve the thing for the bare action. I mean, in this case, I'm just making some small game, so putting a double answers there. So that's why it can be a little bit confusing that we are not allowing for more terms and so on. But it's just an answer, right? In the best of the situation, I would be better not to make any answers for the bare action, and then try to see what happens with all the information that I got from the effective one. So that's the main idea on the loop, right? But I just wanted to exemplify how these things may work.
I think we should move on. Let's thank next teacher is already approaching. Christopher Mede on Algebra and Scalar Tensor Theories.